And welcome again to Catholic Answers Focus. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and today we talk with the founders of St. Martin's Academy in Kansas. Not familiar with St. Martin's Academy in Kansas? That may be because it is yet to open its doors, but with an educational plan that includes lots of outdoor time, singing, farming, liturgy, and other refreshing qualities meant to form boys' souls for Christ, the school is receiving buzz even before its doors open. Daniel Kerr, a successful insurance industry entrepreneur, is the president. Patrick Whalen, former Marine, is headmaster, and both of them join us today. Daniel and Patrick, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Cy.
So,
good to be with you, Cy.
If I may ask, you know, I think, Daniel, I'll start with you. I suppose there's a problem in our society that this St. Martin's Academy is meant to address, but there's also a great tradition that it's meant to kind of reawaken and make new, so to speak. So if we could start with the problem, are you of a mind, as so many are, that education, as it's being done for many, many young people, is not working, but particularly boys, their needs are not being met in the current educational scheme?
Yeah, absolutely. I think about a number of things here, but you mentioned the tradition that we are working from and operating from. And I think that's a good place to start. The Benedictine motto of Ora et Labora, that is prayer and work, you know, is a motto, I think, that shows just profound wisdom about the whole human person and the necessity not just for attending to spiritual matters and to the intellect, but also respecting the fact that we are incarnated in bodies and that the bodies need to be attended to. They need to be developed. They are an important part of who we are. And I think that is where a lot of contemporary education fall short, particularly for boys. Boys are really kind of meant to be, you know, between the age of, until they're 18 and beyond, boys are, I think, meant to be in motion a lot. And putting a boy in a desk, sitting in a chair for 6 to 8 hours a day really just isn't that natural. And I don't think it works very well. I don't think it respects the whole person. And I think our boys suffer because of it. And we're all abundantly aware of, you know, the widespread use of different medications to keep our boys from acting out as they're sitting in class. And I think it's just a model that just doesn't work. And so what we're trying to do at St. Martin's is get those boys outside, get them working, really truly imitate the Benedictine way of Ora et Labora, where they will be studying, but they will also be working on a farm, and a farm that's going to help put food on the table. And it's going to help them in just innumerable ways, but they need to be working, they need to be sweating, so yeah. Does that speak to it?
I think so. Yes. So you get, boys need something other than what they're getting, and the soul is. We can't just. There's a wonderful quote on there. I don't know where it came from on your website, stmartinsacademy.org, and if people want to visit it, you spell out the word saint, stmartinsacademy.org, about the person not being a machine that you just need to oil up and, you know, put all the right ingredients in, but that there needs to be space for the soul. There needs to be some kind of development of the soul.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think, you know, I think that was a quote from John Ruskin, if I'm not mistaken. It's a beautiful quote. But that kind of development of the whole person, development of the character, development of character, just I think requires a broader, more balanced approach than what we have, which is I think just a post-industrial model of education, where it's kind of a factory type of system, where it is very mechanized.
Yeah,
and that just loses sight of the most critical element of the human person, the heart, the soul. You know, so.
And Patrick, I'll ask you this then: if it's not just post-industrial, and it is indeed post-industrial, but we're in the information age, and I wonder if there's a sense of, you know, being on a farm and being amidst nature is also meant as a. Not so much a corrective, but a space away from the noise of the culture. Really, it's this massive kind of psychological experiment we're doing on our youth, having them connected to screens all the time. Is that part of the idea as well, Patrick?
That's a huge part, and I'm glad you brought it up because as you described it as an experiment, and I think that's exactly right. The technology that we find in our classrooms almost universally are brand new technologies. I mean, they didn't exist 30, 40 years ago. And so I think even someone whose only method of proceeding was the scientific method would have to admit that we haven't really followed them through to the conclusion or seen what all possible consequences are. So St. Martin's, the first thing as a boarding school, we're not going to have screens on our campus. We're not going to have digital technology. We're not going to have virtual reality as a part of the life of St. Martin's. And that's for several reasons, but chief among them is the fact that you described it as a kind of a noise, and it very much is a noise. It's a noise that prevents us from hearing. In the spiritual life, it often prevents us from hearing God's call to us. But then even just in a natural way, it prohibits us from seeing the real world around us. It turns out that the virtual reality is such a distractor that it can distract us from the reality around us. And so what exactly are we teaching if our teaching method is virtual? Are we teaching, you know, virtual learning? So a big part of St. Martin's, bring the boys back into contact with reality, create a space in which their imaginations can come to grips with the real world, which their bodies, you know, there's nothing quite as real as having to work with an animal that doesn't really want to work with you. You figure out real quickly that there's something real about that. There's nothing virtual about it. So a kind of a sustained technology fast, not because we expect the boys to go into the world and never use a cell phone or a computer. On the contrary, the fact of the matter is that right now the boys don't even have a fighting chance at using those things properly as tools. They need to put those tools in context first, so that in the rest of their lives they can use them properly.
Would it be fair to say that they need to develop the kind of inner freedom that comes from being in the outdoors, being allowed to develop in the real world before they are exposed to things that really can enslave people?
That's right. No, that's right. It's in a way you could call it an attempt to recover a certain kind of innocence. And you know, on many levels, innocence is the casualty of a hyper-technologized childhood.
So where is this going to be? Like, what will you be near? Say I want to make a left at Albuquerque, and where will I find you? Are you near anything?
Go ahead, Dan.
Patrick, I'll field that one just because this is in my backyard, Cy, literally.
Really?
So, well, yeah, it is. So let's just put it on the map. We are about an hour directly south of Kansas City, Kansas, or Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay.
So on the Kansas-Missouri border, we're about 5 miles on the Kansas side. We are about 2.5 hours from Wichita,
east of Wichita. We are about 4.5 hours west of St. Louis, and we are just a couple hours north of Tulsa. So that gives you kind of an orientation. And actually, there are a number of arteries that intersect at Fort Scott, which is where St. Martin's will be. But it will actually be outside the town of Fort Scott on a couple hundred acres of mixed prairie and forest on a working farm, which is the Kerr family farm.
And so now where are you? So I noticed that a lot of the description of where it is a couple hours from this place and that place. So that's quite rural. This is a very rural setting. Would that be fair to say?
That's very fair to say. Fort Scott is a lovely little town of about 8,000. So there is a town. I mean, there are stores. there's some commerce. There's a beautiful parish, Mary Queen of Angels in Fort Scott. So yeah, there is a town, but we're outside the town. We're several miles removed from Fort Scott.
And either of you can feel this. So what will the campus look like? What's the physical look of the place going to be?
Well, Si, we're working right now. We've actually got the foundation hole dug, and we'll be pouring a foundation in the coming weeks here. But the campus is going to be constructed on the side of this hill. This beautiful, beautiful little hill just off of Indian Road. And at the top of the hill is ultimately where our chapel will be built. The first building we're putting up is it's called Theotokos Hall. And it's going to be constructed, as will the rest of our campus, out of oak logs, and native stone where we can. From campus, from where the boys will be eating and sleeping and attending classes and attending mass, they'll have a view from the side of this hill down across several of the pastures that they'll be working on and working in on a daily basis.
So when you say working on, is this part of every day's experience, or how does it work, their farm work?
Yeah, they will have daily chores a couple of times a day that will be largely of the maintenance variety. That will include milking cows, feeding the livestock, and just kind of general maintenance of the livestock, and then also general maintenance of the gardens. We will have on Wednesday what we're calling Work Wednesday, and we actually won't have class on Wednesday. So our large projects on the farm will be undertaken on Wednesday. It's just the case that when you get a group of folks together and you're working on a project, especially in my experience, in an agrarian setting, you need some time. And so you need more than just, say, an hour to really make some meaningful progress on a large project. Because by the time you get your tools together, you get organized, you get your game plan together, you work for half an hour and then you're breaking down and cleaning up, and you've only had a fraction of the time allotted for meaningful work. So we're doing maintenance work throughout the week, and then one day on Wednesday, we are going to set out for a full day of work on the farm and really tackle those larger projects.
So, go ahead.
Well, and Si, I just wanted to jump in and say that there's an aspect of the work component of the curriculum that's really important, and that I think Wednesday will really feature. And that's that we want the boys, we're going to be putting the boys in positions of leadership and responsibility for different projects on the farm. So it's not just that they're going to be working on the farm, but that they'll also be having responsibilities that they'll need to make good on. So, for example, if you're the senior and it's your job to supervise milking of the cows, we're going to turn to you if there's a problem there. We're going to be expecting you to supervise and make sure that milk makes it into the kitchen for that day's meal. And there's just an important point about bringing the boys into contact with reality, that responsibility of that nature, the responsibility for real work, is a tremendous teacher of the boys. The boys will be learning through having to exercise responsibility, the reality that when you shirk that duty, there are real consequences for it.
And that seems such an antidote to the perpetual adolescence that the American male seems to have recommended to him these days in every form of media and probably at school as well. I don't know. Is that part of thinking that an adolescent is capable of a great deal that we don't ask of them? It would seem to me. I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
That's right. I always think of the beautiful Greek word for excellence, arete. It seems like we don't give our students the credit that they the credit they deserve by calling them to achieve excellence. It's almost like we assume they couldn't do it anyway, so why bother? And that's we've got to give them the chance. We've got to give them the chance to rise to a certain excellence.
So how is the building going, and do you expect to have students come fall next year?
Yep, the building is going very well, thanks be to God, and the project has moved forward in this way that has just been really beautiful to see, and God's hand has just been has really been guiding this for years now, so the construction project is moving forward on schedule, and we are absolutely going to be opening doors in September of 2018. And so I would expect that we will have somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 students in the first year. That will be just freshmen and sophomore.
Okay.
So we're not going to take all of the classes. We'll start with freshmen and sophomore, and then we'll add, a grade each year, and those students who start as sophomores will be the first graduating class in 2021, I believe. So at capacity, we will have 12 to 15 students per class, so we'll be somewhere in the 48 to 60 range.
When all is completed, you mean that when you're up and running at where you want to be, so 48
right.
to
when
60.
Right. When we're at full steam, we will have 48 to 60 students. I would suspect that'll be 3 to 5 years from now.
And
I think we'll be at capacity.
Yeah, and it's an ambitious construction schedule, I notice on the website. And I'll give that website again, St. Martin's Academy, and spell out the word Saint, stmartinsacademy.org. It's an ambitious schedule. It's new things popping up every year for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, that's right. And we are, as Patrick said, we're beginning with the largest building, which will be a 72 by 36 hall. It'll be kind of a banquet hall built entirely of native oak that's sourced locally. And that is the largest building that will be on campus. And so we're getting that up this year. And then we will follow by building out the residential quarters for the students. And I think one thing that's going to be interesting here is that the boys will actually be actively participating in some of the construction. We're not going to be putting them in harm's way or asking them to do anything that is far beyond their capabilities. But there are some things based upon the materials we're using, and the construction method is actually fairly simple. I mean, it's log cabin like, and it's Lincoln log like, And so it's fairly intuitive, and the boys will be participating a lot in actually building their quarters, which I think is going to be a wonderful thing.
And so when a boy comes there, and I would just like to get a sense on, not on farming day, but on a regular a day, these are all boarders. So you have 48 to 60 boarding boys. And what is their day going to be like? Like, what time in the morning do we start? And then what happens between then and the time we're back to bed?
Well, Cy, it's a pretty ambitious schedule. This is where my time in the Marine Corps kind of shows. we plan on, and this is subject to minor revisions, but we plan on waking the boys up at 5:30 in the morning. Morning prayer will be a few minutes later, followed by morning chores, heading out and getting kind of the initial work done on the farm to make sure that everything is in good shape for the day. And then boys are getting cleaned up and heading in for a morning mass before heading to breakfast. After breakfast, there will be classes throughout the morning, then rosary and lunch, and then classes throughout the first part of the afternoon. For the late afternoon, the boys will be involved in our athletic program, and that it depends on which semester. In the fall semester, our athletics are going to be what's called the FORT program, which is an acronym for Functional Outdoor Resilience Training. And this is really just a way of translating that call to excellence that we talked about, and that leadership development into a physical workout. So we're going to have a woodland obstacle course, nets, ropes, log obstacles, things like that. And the boys will be organized into teams, competing against one another, and navigating the obstacle course, completing different cognitive challenges. So either that or rugby in the spring. After that, the boys get cleaned up and they head into dinner. After dinner, there's study hall for about 2 hours. And then there's, if you're adding up the hours in this very full day, they have about an hour worth of free time in the evening before heading into evening prayer in Compline, and then it's lights out.
And then it's what's striking is, though, this is, it's basically 2 days of that, and then a farm day, and then two more days of that. And boys,
yes,
will,
sir.
Boys will still be on campus during the weekends?
That's right. And the weekend, Saturday morning, is going to be another important day for farm work on the farm. Saturday morning, the boys will be able to sleep in a little bit, but there'll be other projects that we need to get done in terms of maintenance and taking care of the animal husbandry. The thing is that animals don't take the weekends off in eating and having emergencies or having babies. So there'll be some work requirements for us on the weekends. But the intent is for Saturday afternoons to have some real opportunities for recreation. And I think Dan could talk a little bit more about some of the recreational opportunities in this area. And then Sunday is mass during the spring. There'll be rugby games. We want to give them some good opportunity to have study hall and then that recreation, that I think Dan could talk about.
Dan?
Yeah. I think it's really, the weekends are really an important part of the overall experience. And by the way, Patrick and I both attended a boarding school that is not, dissimilar to what we're describing and what we hope to do. And so we actually have firsthand experience of this, and the weekends were really important because it gave you this kind of unscripted time to develop camaraderie, to take a little bit of a break from what is a very rigorous schedule. And there will be recreational opportunities in abundance. Just first of all, on the property itself, we have a 25-acre watershed that is a small lake that affords wonderful fishing, kayaking, and just exploration. There's just terrific opportunities for camping, and we will have organized activities on the regular, heading up to Kansas City for symphonies and, you know, cultural events that you're not going to quite get on the farm. So, you know, there will be, it'll be a mix of unscripted activities that the boys can just kind of go get lost, literally go get lost in the woods for a while, camp, make forts, do things that boys just sort of naturally want to do and get creative. And then we'll have more organized activities to different urban centers in the area. But having continuity through the weekend and having the boys on campus together through the weekend is very important. And boys will be able to go home on occasion over the weekend, and that's absolutely fine. But they will, in general, be spending their whole week, you know, together, and it just kind of helps keep what is a very carefully developed culture intact, and that weekend is an important part of that.
So having experienced something like this, both of you, I didn't realize that in your own formative years, as we kind of wind down our chat, and I hope we'll talk again and keep up with one another on this. I'd like to hear how the progress goes. What do you say to a parent who might think, well, that sounds like what that would be good for my boy, but I need somebody to kind of give me the pitch. And so what is it, you having experienced it yourself, what's the pitch here? What is this boy going to gain and become because of this experience? Either of you?
Patrick?
Sorry.
He might be on mute.
No. Sorry. Well, a couple things. First of all, I attended St. Gregory's Academy and the wonderful school, and I'd say the chief difference between the two is this, the farm work, the labor component that St. Martin's emphasizes so much. And I think really that would be, you know, talking to a parent, I would want to make sure that, especially if it was a parent that was attracted to the vision, so not somebody that I'm going to have to convince that, for example, unlimited internet access is not a healthy situation for a young man to be in. So if it's a parent who's already, for the most part, on board with the vision, I would say that the decision to send a boy to a boarding school is going to be difficult. I mean, and it's not going to be the right decision for every family. But for those families for whom it will be right, the benefit will be a boy who has a residential environment with peers, and what the peer situation helps do in a situation like this is you're for example, when you're attending Mass, you're there with, you know, 45, 60 of your closest friends in the world, and you see that they're all pretty serious about it, and they're all there praying, and you're noticing a buddy of yours, you know, getting in line for confession after Mass or before Mass, and so there's a kind of a subtle cultural pressure that's really helpful, especially in those formative years. Same with the teachers and the faculty and staff. From whether it's our farm foreman leading them in projects on the farm, so good manual labor, or whether it's our teachers in the classroom introducing them to beautiful and ancient ideas, they're going to have a strong moral and masculine example in all of those people and in their peers. A spirit of festivity, song, a spirit of camaraderie through the physical work. I think it's just an experience that will be, and I found my own high school experience to be like this, totally unique, and one of the most valuable kind of touchstones of my life.
Yeah, and I would, if I may, Si, this is Dan, I'd love to just add my perspective here quickly.
Please.
If I can. So Patrick and I went to the same school. In fact, I actually taught Patrick. I taught at St. Gregory's Academy for a year, and Patrick was one of my students. But I also attended. St. Gregory's Academy, which is a boarding, a wonderful, wonderful place in Northeast Pennsylvania. For me, and this is what I, this is why we're doing St. Martin's. I mean, this is why we're undertaking what is an exceedingly ambitious and daunting project, is because we had such a powerful experience, and it has been so valuable to us. And speaking for myself, it's just been absolutely a precious thing in my life to have had that experience. And here's why. Growing up, I come from a wonderful family. I have wonderful parents, and just, I am blessed in so many ways. And still, growing up, I was awash in a culture that was antithetical to my faith, and to the development of a healthy imagination. And was, you know, just working at odds against, working at odds against, God's work. And it really never occurred to me that there could be, anything different. In other words, I'd never had any kind of experience of an authentically Christian culture.
Yeah.
The world we live in, there are little isolated groups. There are fragments of it, and we can participate in it, in certain ways. But on the whole, Christian culture is on life support here in the United States, and the pop culture and the media, which is absolutely so pervasive in so many subtle ways, is just working against that all the time. So a place like St. Gregory's Academy or a place like St. Martin's Academy pushes that culture aside and pushes that noise aside for a time so that boys have a chance to develop an imagination that is rooted in the good, the true, and the beautiful, and to experience a culture. It's a cultural education, really more so than it is about, achieving certain standardized test scores or anything like that. This is a cultural education. This is an education that will awaken the imagination to a different kind of life, the good life, which I didn't have that in my imagination until I was sort of went into the sensory deprivation chamber from pop culture for a while and experienced a new way that was kind of this Benedictine, again, this kind of Benedictine mode of existence, of prayer and study, and at St. Martin's there'll be, again, this kind of agrarian element of work. So I think that is, and sorry to ramble there, Si, I can get going here, but I think that's at the heart of it.
I did, frankly, Dan, it doesn't sound like rambling at all. It's an extraordinary vision. It's it is what we need. We need so many things, but it is among the precious things that we need, to a place for our young people to have a vision other than the vision that is offered to them by pop culture. Daniel Kerr is president and Patrick Whalen is headmaster of St. Martin's Academy in Kansas. You can find them once again at stmartinsacademy.org. Dan and Patrick, thanks so much for spending this time with us.
Thank you,
Scott. My pleasure,
God bless you and your work. Thanks so much.
And you and yours, thank you very much. And thank you to all of our listeners. This is Catholic Answers Focus. We do this all the time. And if you like it, share it. Maybe give us a little notice or something on your Facebook page. We'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Focus.